بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. باب فضل الوضوء. قال الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم، إلى قوله تعالى: ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج ولكن يريد ليطهركم وليتم نعمته عليكم لعلكم تشكرون. المائدة. صدق الله العظيم. This chapter which we are about to begin is a very very important chapter and section in the life of a Muslim and a believer. Our first obligation after Iman, and the first thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question you and I about on the Day of Judgment, is going to be our salah. Salah in the life of a believer is the distinction between being a believer and being a kafir or disbeliever. Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahumus salah faman tarakaha faqad kafar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the thing that distinguishes or decides who is from me, baynana, our camp, the camp of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or out of the camp of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the distinction and the deciding characteristic is salah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. The one who has abandoned his salah, he has committed kufr. There is no salah, there is no iman, there is no Islam without salah. Many, many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find this meaning put forward to us. And salah is that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran. Aqeemus salah, aqeemus salah, aqeemus salah. Allah ta'ala is commanding us over and over and over again. And as I mentioned, this is the first thing. أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدِ. First thing that Allah Ta'ala is going to question you and I about on the Day of Judgment is our salah. So we cannot possibly overstate the importance of this chapter of this kitab, Riyadu Salihin. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah begins under this chapter of salah with the first thing that is linked or attached to our salah, and that is wudu. We find in our maktabs, our children, madrasa system, the kitabs that are taught, the masail of wudu are taught there. This is farz in wudu, this is sunnat, this is mustahab, etc. And to some extent, our children learn these things. Unfortunately, many of us, once that contact with maktab and madrasa is lost, then as with other aspects of our deen, things become ritual, things become a cycle, things become where we're just going through the motions. And as the time passes, we lose the, one is the reality, and in many instances, many of us are not even familiarizing ourselves with the ahkamat and the laws of wudu and salah. As a result of that, we find that many of us, our wudu is not being made properly, our salah is not being made properly. Once Rasulullah ﷺ was on a journey, Sahaba reached a certain point. The time of salah was, obviously, they were in a hurry. There wasn't much time left for salah. So very, very quickly they made wudu. And in that haste to get the wudu done, the heels of the feet were not washed properly. In other words, water did not reach the heels of the feet. In a desert climate, when any part of the limbs that are supposed to be washed will not be washed for whatever reason. In a desert climate, because of the, obviously the tendency of sand and dust to cling to parts of the body, it's easily discernible. So that particular part was shining. Shining in the sense that you could see that there's still sand there, it wasn't washed. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the group slightly behind the first group. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached and he observed this, that they had made wudu in such a hasty fashion that the heels of the feet did not get washed at all. So in other words, the wudu wasn't discharged. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we find in the hadith, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ أَسْبِغُ الْوُضُوءُ. He said, that section of your heels which were not washed in wudu will be from Jahannam. وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Halakat, destruction to these heels, they are from Jahannam. أَسْبِغُ الْوُضُوءُ. Make your wudu properly. Who is being admonished like this? The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So an important lesson for us. Like I said, we cannot overstate the importance of this particular chapter. If for whatever reason we are not making our wudu properly or not giving it the due attention, likewise other aspects of our salah, it is important that we now address that. Don't just listen to these ahadith and then that's the end of it. No. We should try and learn. Try and improve all our time, all the time. Improvement in our wudu, improvement in our salah. That dua which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, la tada'anna, don't ever leave it out. After every salah, he advised him, read this dua, and he said, don't ever leave it out. Short dua, important dua, stress dua, but in that dua, important lesson. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. The third part of that dua, you and I are required after every salah to ask Allah Ta'ala to help us to beautify, improve and perfect our ibadat. Wudu is ibadat, salah is ibadat. And all the time we are supposed to be trying to improve that. Make effort upon it. Babu Fadlil Wudu, the chapter which deals with the virtue of wudu. Imam Nawawi first brings the verse of the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us with wudu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Many of our ulama advise us that if you are not able to learn the whole Quran, or even the translation of all the verses of the Quran, then 89 places in the Quran, 89 places in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala addresses the people of Iman directly. Find that in the Quran you'll find Ya Ahl al-Kitab. Allah is addressing the people of the book, the Yahud and the Nasara. Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Hadu. Directly the Yahud are addressed in the Quran. Some places in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala addresses the kafir, Ya ayyuhal kafirun. Some places Allah addresses humanity, Ya ayyuhal nas. But 89 places in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is directly addressing you and I, people of Iman. The English equivalent of this, or the closest thing to this type of expression, is as if Allah is addressing you directly, O Muhammad, O Imran, O Yusuf. That is, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O people of Iman, O the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those that have brought Iman on Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 89 places in the Quran, we find out of more than 6,000 verses, there are only 89 places in the Quran with this type of address. So ulama say, if you're not going to learn the rest of it, at least these 89 verses. And what is the beauty? In these verses, a lot of things are repeated. So if you break it down, it becomes even less. Because sometimes somebody may think 89 is too much. So out of more than 6,000 verses, 89 places Allah Ta'ala is addressing directly the people of Iman. And this is one such verse. So we should take special attention to at least learn these verses. What is Allah Ta'ala directly telling me? Or what is Allah Ta'ala directly commanding me in the Quran? Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O people of Iman, idha kumtum ila salah. When you stand up for salah, in other words, you make the intention, now I want to make salah. So what is Allah saying? What must you do? Faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq. وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Beautifully, concise language, Quran issues two instructions to us. First, If you intend making salah, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Wash your face and your hands up to the elbow. Mufassirin, obviously the commentators explained to us the first part of this. فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your face. In other words, this is farz now. In wudu, this is compulsory, direct command of Allah Ta'ala. That when you decide you want to make salah, first thing you have to do, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your face. So obviously, this will mean that you are in a state of impurity. You obviously have to purify yourself first before you can make salah. This is what Allah Ta'ala is commanding you. إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. What is not mentioned there, obviously will mean that you are in a state of impurity. So now, make yourself pure, become pure before you can make salah. Now, when we look at impurity, there are two types of impurity. I'm not going to go into detailed masail now, because obviously that's not part of our subject matter. But very, very briefly, ulama explained this. They say one is hadath-e asghar and one is hadath-e akbar. Impurity is of two types. One is that impurity which requires ghusl. For example, person had sexual intercourse, or he had a wet dream, or whatever it is. That is what we call hadith akbar. Obviously, that is not referred to here. Those are other masail, how to come out of the state of hadith akbar when you need ghusl. And that is addressed later on in the same verse. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَاتَّهَرُوا. Allah says, if you're in a state of janabat, in other words, hadith akbar, فَاتَّهَرُوا. فَاتَّهَرُوا, in other words, take a bath, cleanse yourself. The masail of that are not discussed in this particular verse. Then we get what is called hadath-e asghar, smaller state of impurity. That purity which is gained from this state by making wudu. So, how do I make wudu? What is farz in wudu? What is compulsory in wudu? Allah Ta'ala tells us, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. First thing, wash your face. Now, in Arabic, or the commentators, or the mufassirin, the ulama, the fuqaha, etc. have broken this down for us. What constitutes the face? So they say, from the starting of the forehead up to underneath the chin, and from the earlobe of one side to the earlobe of the other side, that daira, that circumference constitutes the face. So to wash that much, to make sure that water reaches all this section when making wudu, is compulsory. Allah is commanding us, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your face. Now the question arises, sometimes somebody has a beard. So now the beard is obviously going to be blocking the section of his chin. Because face means up to underneath the chin. So if you've got a beard there, how are you going to wash it? There ulama explained that if there is a beard, there's two types of beard. One is sometimes person has what we call a sparse beard, thin beard, just a few strands of hair. There, he has to make sure that properly, up to underneath his chin, the entire section becomes wet and is washed. Then you get, mashallah, proper sunnat beard, thick beard. So thick that obviously the chin is not even visible. In that instance, then you will just make sure that up to that section, the water reaches properly. You don't have to actually ensure that the chin actually becomes wet, because then the person will be spending half an hour in the wuzu khana because he has a thick beard and he'll be pouring and pouring and pouring water. So Sharia doesn't make things difficult for us. That is why we find in the latter part of the verse, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah doesn't want to make things difficult for you. Allah is actually purifying you, and Allah Ta'ala is actually completing His ni'mat upon you. So come back to this verse, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Second thing that is farz in wudu, wash your hands. Allah says, wash وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ. أَيْدِيَكُمْ in Arabic means your hands. So, till where? Obviously, the question arises in the person's mind. Allah Ta'ala says, when making wudu, wash your hands till where? So the Quran tells us, إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, until the elbow. In other words, then the Mufassirin have explained to us, until the elbow means up to and including the elbow. In other words, don't wash up to here, before the elbow, and stop. It is compulsory that when you're making wudu, you wash to that extent that includes the elbow, till above the elbow. elbow, the entire hands. فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Third farz of wudu, Allah says, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. Pass a wet hand over your head. So now the question arises, does it mean the whole head? According to the Hanafi Mazhab, not the entire head, at least a quarter of the head has to be made wet. What we call, basically, when we make wudu, the masah of the head. And the fourth thing which is mentioned in the Quran, or the fourth obligation of wudu, arjulakum, your feet. So feet also can mean till the knees, can mean till the hip, till where? Quran tells us, we are arjulakum ilal ka'bain, up to and including the ankles. As that incident which we mentioned earlier, where Sahaba left out the heels, that is obviously the section of the feet that is, which is beneath the ankles. So there Rasulullah said, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَاقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Such heels are in Jahannam. So coming back to the first part of this verse, we've run out of time. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah Ta'ala says, O people of Iman, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. When you stand up for salah, when you decide, when you determine that I want to make salah, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Wash your faces and your hands up to the elbow, up to and including the elbow, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and make masah of your head and wash your feet up to and including the ankles. Like a stuff fix one.